kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I couldn't help but tell, brother, that's one of my favorite songs. Amen. Amen. Because he's been so good to me. Amen. And I know if he's been good to me, I know he's been good to you. Amen. For his thoughts are towards us to do us good. Amen. Not of evil. Amen. And sometimes the Lord's hand is heavy. And sometimes, you know, it seems like we can't bear it. But yet his thoughts are still towards us are good. Amen. Amen. Not to do us of evil, but bring us into a place that we can know him in a greater measure. Amen. And growing pains or pains, or that's what they are. But we just thank God that we're growing in the stature of a perfect man. Amen. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't find perfection in man. We only find perfection in Christ tonight, this morning. Amen. So we certainly appreciate the Lord. I appreciate being here. I appreciate Brother Jerry, even though he's not here this morning, the privilege to speak to his sheep here. Amen. In Dixon, Tennessee. And I feel like Brother Phil, my bosom buddy, amen, just appreciate him. It is just taking me along. Wherever he went this week, I went. So that's a blessing or what, but it's good to be here this morning. And just the presence of the Lord was back there with me, and I have a real good confidence that the Lord has given me something for the church here. So let's just go to the Word this morning. Let's go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and Just flew in Thursday night and had great trials and tribulations coming in. And my flight was delayed 3 hours. And that meant Brother Phil had to pick me up at the airport at 1 o'clock in the morning. And we didn't get into bed till after 1:30. And it took us all day Friday to get over that. And I think even a little bit into Saturday. But, you know, I just felt like God had given us something. And you know, he'll throw everything in your pathway to derail you, to take your strength. But I believe that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. So we certainly appreciate the Lord. St. Matthew 11, let's look at verse 6. And we'll read on. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, and which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if ye shall receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. So let us pray. Father, we certainly are happy to be here this morning, and we count it a privilege to be in the house of God. And for this is surely the day that thou hast made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. And for Lord, we can look at the world and we cannot rejoice in the sin and the iniquity, but we can rejoice, Lord, knowing that our redemption draweth nigh, Father. And all these things are pointing to that great and wonderful day, Father. And we, Lord, it behooves us to recognize, Lord, what thou art doing today in the earth, Lord, not what you did yesterday or what you will do, but what you're doing right now in the midst of the bride of Christ. And we ask you for your divine presence among us, Lord, to just touch every need, meet every need, oh God, as we just come to you for a purpose this morning. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. And boy, I should have, let me just ease into it. Amen. This new pulpit, sometimes it's difficult sometimes to get acquainted, but I just feel real good this morning. And So I'm Matthew Woosley. I'm from Lynchburg, Virginia. I've been serving the Lord since 2008, ministering since 2010. I have a little church there, about 10 people. So this is a big crowd for me. So I'm just happy, you know, to serve the Lord in any capacity that we can, you know. And we get down to two or three, then, you know, we have to start wondering, you know. But we just appreciate the Lord, and it's good that there's believers amongst us this morning. But the thought that I had and the Lord gave me a couple weeks ago was, what did you come out to see? You know, what did you come out to see? And Jesus asked them that question. And I like it when Jesus were to ask a question, or Paul were to ask a question, you know, and Peter, in the end of his epistles, he were to ask a question, what type of people ought we to be? You know, and I remember just preaching that over and over, because it behooves us to consider the questions that we're asked. So Jesus was sitting there with the multitudes, and if we want to go back a little bit into Matthew 11, John, you know, his eagle eye was getting dim, and he started questioning even the very message that he brought. And, you know, I believe that tribulation can put us in a situation sometimes to where we have second thoughts, you know. And so John was sitting there, and he's in prison, and, you know, and when John had heard that in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said, ask him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And so the disciples went and asked Jesus that. He says, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have received the gospel preached to them. So Jesus was giving John's disciples an answer to the question that they was asking. And then he turns around and he asked them a question after they went back to give John the report. You know, see, John, the message was vindicated. You know, I like how he gave those disciples the answer that John needed at the time. He said, the message that you brought, John, introduced the word of God, and that word was anointed, and that word was Christ, and how that word fulfilled the very scripture of Isaiah 61, the anointing is upon me to open up blind eyes, to heal broken hearts, and to open up prison doors and set the captive free. So he said, John, the message that you brought, God fulfilled it. Amen. So we recognize that when Jesus had the vindication of the revelation that God gave John in the wilderness. You know, I like how, you know, if you just want to write these scriptures down, I'm going to reference to some of these, you know. John and John the Baptist in the Gospel of John 1:32. Amen. John says, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him, which was Christ. And he says, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, that same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So John had a revelation that nobody else in the entire world had ever had before. The angel came to John at Isaiah 40, you know, the angel, the one that sent him, said, go cry. And John said, what shall I cry? And so the angel of the Lord was telling John, when you see this sign, this is him that is coming, and this is the one that you're going to forerun. And so, and I love how the scripture says that there was a man sent from John there was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And so I love that scripture, because John was the one that had the word of God. John had that secret, that mystery of God that was revealed to John, but it was waiting for a time and a purpose in order for John to really identify the Christ. Amen. John's message wasn't to introduce a church or a doctrine or anything else that we would like to say church is, but his whole ministry and message was to identify the Christ. His message was to identify a word that was given by a prophet or an angel, amen, that would identify the reality of God manifest in flesh. And I like that, because, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they all came out to hear the message. A multitude of people came out. I want to say three classes of people came out. The make-believers, the unbelievers, and there were some believers too. Amen. But the message would draw a multitude of people. You know, and it's there to catch, you know, the people's eye. And, you know, and it would catch the people's minds then. But, you know, God doesn't just want to captivate your mind. He has a seed inside of you that has to come into the light of the Word of God for the hour that you're living in. Amen? See, that's the thing that, you know, so many people came out for different reasons, you know. They wanted to see what was happening on the Jordan River, you know. What's going on out there? What's all the ado about, you know? All these people are shouting and getting baptized in the water, and they're starting to walk away from the laws and the temples that the Sadducees had beautifully erected. And, you know, and so many people just came out with the multitude, you know, and they followed John. And, you know, but John, you know, they had a lot of questions for John, you know. I love the Gospel of John. He says, you know, here it is. He said, this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, who art thou? You know, who are you, John? Who do you think you are? You're coming preaching repentance. You're coming preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. And, you know, we have the laws and we have all of these great things, John, but you're preaching something new. You know, and you know, but he wasn't preaching anything new to him, but it was what God has reserved until that day. And John, he says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Ain't you glad that John, well, we can bring it closer to home. Ain't you glad Elijah wasn't the Christ? Right? I mean, we got to have a balance in that. Amen. But a lot of people don't keep their balance. You know, if you're on a bicycle and, you know, you lose your balance where, you know, we just going to fall over, you know. And babes need training wheels. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. But we have to ride that bicycle without training wheels to really get to the purpose, amen, of how to ride that bike. And, you know, but so many times, you know, we put the emphasis on a man versus what we're truly here for. Amen. Now, John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Amen. John said, I got to go away in order for him to really come in the fullness. Amen. That the message has been purposed. And he said, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? What art thou Elias? And he said, I'm not. Art thou the prophet? And he said, no. Then he said unto them, they said unto him, who art thou? And that we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? I love it. He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they were sent unto, were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but they are standing one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to lose. So John was saying there's one amongst us that hasn't been identified yet, but yet he's here and he's preferred before me. And he was even before me, and he was waiting for the Holy Ghost to come and designate that Christ. And what happened? We all know the story, how Jesus came down and met the Word in the water. We recognize that. We love it. Why? Because the Word of God must be fulfilled, and the Word came to the prophet. You know, Brother Brandon would say that over and over, how it just brought a stimulation to him because he was there when the Word came to the prophet. Amen. When he was baptized on the Ohio River. But boy, you know, John's message was fulfilled when Christ came and received that anointing of the Holy Ghost on the River Jordan. And he said, this day, you know, this is my beloved Son of whom I am well pleased to dwell in. And that identified the Christ. And the angel said, when you see the Holy Spirit descending from heaven and abiding and remaining, he said, that's the Christ. You know, we don't want to be falsely anointed, but we want to be the genuine Christ of the Word of God in this hour. You know, the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, it would come down on Isaiah, and it would anoint him to prophesy, a virgin shall conceive. But yet the Holy Spirit would leave him and come back again on Ezekiel and so forth and so forth. But yet when it come upon Jesus, amen, it fulfilled the scripture that this was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was the vindication of the revelation that God had given John to go and tell the people. But what did they find when they come out?
That's the question that he wants to ask us today, and, you know, put it in my heart to preach unto us, is what do we all come out to see? What do we leave our denominations, or what do we leave our creeds for? You know, what do we give up to follow this Christ? You know, what are we doing here? And if we're here, then what have we found? You know, we've come out, but, you know, I'll be 40 in August. And I've been around this message for, you know, I don't know, 16 years, you know? And I find a mixed multitude, you know, just like it was in John's day. You know, you have genuine, then you have some synthetic, and then you just guys, then you know you just ain't got it, just, you know, just some out really out there, you know what I mean? And so, but I come out too, you know. And when I come out, I really didn't know what it was. But I knew it was something that I had never heard before. And I come out of a Baptist church, and you know, we Baptists. I don't know how many people went to a Baptist church. We didn't have a lot to lose, amen. You know, I had genuine experiences with God, you know, as a young person, but I didn't have any substance. I didn't have any, you know, what do you believe in? You know, what do you stand on? You know, we just went to church, you know, and that's what we did, you know, and it was just something that we did that was that happened to be on Sunday and Wednesday night, and you know, but when I heard of a prophet, and I recognized that, hey man, this is scripture, this is Malachi 4:5, this is something I've never heard before, and there's a Holy Ghost that, you know, God wants to give you and dwell inside of you, and you know, the Baptists believe that too, but yet somehow they're off the word, amen, because it doesn't manifest, it's not a vindication to the scripture, but yet it was something about the message that we believe that God gave William Branham, amen, that actually identifies the Christ in this hour. You know, I didn't find a new, I did find a new set of doctrine. I really did, you know, serpent seed and marriage and divorce. There was a lot of things that I had never heard before, but somehow I found myself believing them because I found it in the scripture. But yet I saw that how God would vindicate a man, you know, albeit it was on a tape, but yet I can see God working through the man. I can see Christ, amen, in William Branham, but yet William Branham would confess and say, I'm not the Christ, but yet I'm pointing you to Christ. Amen. So that was relevant for me because he wasn't just heaping the praise upon himself. He says, I can do nothing unless what the Father shows me. And he says, now, it's not me creating the vision. It's your faith that's creating the vision. And I so many times how I would just listen to the tape and just see how Christ would take that man and speak the things of God in such a way that it would prick my heart. Amen. How it would draw me closer to God, and how that my eyes were taken off of the world, but yet I was now centered on Christ. And how that somebody gave the testimony earlier this morning, I heard it. He said that God has changed my whole life. Well, that's the power of Christ, you know, that this message brings with it. This message brings a divine revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that it will put us positionally in order to have that same relationship with God that Jesus did. Amen. He said, the works that I do, you should do also. Amen. I and the Father in me, and I and you in me. Amen. Now, that's a mystery to the world, but amen. But to the bride of Jesus Christ, we have been given a position, amen, in Christ, that we may know who we are. Amen. And John, and I love the scripture in John, it said that all men through him, John, might believe. Now, John had the revelation. John had the keystone that was there that was going to bridge the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you cannot get that revelation outside of John. Now, a lot of people say, well, I got this and I got that. But unless you come through the message of the hour, you cannot get that revelation. You are not going to be in position, amen, by the word of God unless you follow John's message, amen? I know a lot of people say, well, you can be bride and don't have to believe in a prophet. I like to dispel, that's a lie. You don't get this outside of the message. Amen. You don't get this outside of in a seminary. You don't get this in a denomination. Amen. This revelation, amen, was given to a prophet, and the prophet gave it to the people. But yet somehow, amen, it has to going to get inside of you. And then the Holy Ghost, amen, is going to quicken that word. Amen. Then bring it to life. See, Jesus had a seed in him, amen? Jesus was the Word manifest in flesh. It was something inside of Jesus that set him apart from the rest of it, amen? And he waited for John to be in his position and met him down there in the River Jordan. And the Word came out there, amen? It says, it's behooving of us to fulfill all righteousness. And he had to come to John because John forerun him, amen? And he couldn't come unless John first was on the scene, amen? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we recognize that God does everything decently and in order. He has to allow a vision to fulfill in Jesus' life just as much as it does in our life. See, John had to be in his position, and John had to be preaching the word of God. There's one among us. There's one here, you know, that's greater than I. And but yet he was a man sent from God, and he was preaching to the multitudes. Some people got it. Some people didn't. Some people thought they had it, you know, but yet they was hanging around, you know, and the religious was there, and the ones that towed the law was there. Nicodemus came out to meet Christ. We was talking about him this morning. There's a lot of things going on. They wanted to come out and see something. They wanted to come out to see what everybody was talking about. So Jesus will, you know, he answered John's disciples, and they went back, and he turns around, and he said, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they are in kings' houses." So if you're looking for something comfortable to meet your flesh or to meet our Nicolaitan spirit, you know, Brother Brown would say this softness of the Laodicean people, you know, he says they're characterless. He said those people, they live in king's houses. You know, we didn't come out to see a fancy, better class of people. You know, I didn't come out, you know, if I looked around and I saw that it was people just like me. You know, I look at people today and you know, you look like me. We're not well off. We might be better off in some areas of our life, but we just people, you know. We don't claim to be a higher class or to be anything else other than who we are. Amen. God brings, I like how he said, I bring the high places low and the low places high. Amen. So we can all be together on the same plane. Amen. He'll bring the pride down and bring the lowly up. Amen. Because why? He's preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to get into something. Amen. Because we all come out. You know, you might have not left the denomination, but you have a choice this morning of what church you want to go to. You know, ain't nobody making you come here, you know. You're here by free choice. What calls us here together? You know, I believe it was a message that brings us together. Amen. I believe a message, we've all heard the same trumpet, the gospel trumpet. You know, and it gave a certain sound, and we all gathered together. But yet, somehow, we believe the same message. But, you know, like we said before, there's a lot of different opinions about what the message really is. Boy, it's a lot out there, man. A lot. And I would tell many people, and I've said it in many a pulpit, if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, I would run from this message. Yeah, that's true, man. I've met some crazy people, man, with some crazy doctors. And the more I go, the crazier they get. But it's something about the Holy Ghost that, you know, it just keeps you where you are, amen? And you wait on God, amen? And if we can only just wait on God, amen, to give us an answer from him. You know, if people would just be honest with God. And, you know, I had questions about the message, you know, just coming in from a Baptist background and not knowing anything about holiness. I had a lot of questions. But I find all my answers in the message. I find all my answers through the Holy Ghost. I've had some serious questions about my personal life. I've had some questions about prayers that just wasn't answered. But it wasn't the way that, you know, my prayers was answered, sis, but it wasn't the way that I prayed them. You know, have you ever had an answer? God answered the way he answered it rather than the way that you wanted him to answer. God doesn't have to answer to me. I have to answer to God. Amen. I don't ask God to change your criteria to meet my lifestyle or my prayers or my thinking. Amen. But I want God, amen, to have his perfect will in my life. You know, I'm a very personal preacher. I think that my ministry is built upon me just being honest with people. You know, I was divorced, and I don't mind sharing this. It's on the internet anyway. Amen. So I was divorced, and I prayed for my wife. I testified. I mean, I became a fool for my wife. And she was dating other men, but yet I said, that's still my wife. And so I wore my wedding band everywhere I went. I testified. God's going to bring her back. God's going to restore my marriage. God's going to do a lot of things for me. You know, but God's word, we're just going to come back together and be a happy family, and we're just going to have, you know, just a good time. Well, you know what? Today I'm not married. But I come out to receive the message. I've come out, and when I came out, I noticed that I lost some things along the way. Amen. I came out to see, amen, what was drawing me, and when I received it, amen, it took from me. Amen. It cost me something. It cost pain in my life. I just want to be honest with you. Sometimes this message causes you a lot of pain to be a genuine believer. Amen. If you're looking for a soft raiment, those are in king's houses. Amen. If you're going to look for something, a palace or a flowery bed of ease, this ain't the place. Amen. That the message of the hour is as rugged as their old rugged cross. Amen. It's not for the politically correct. It's not for the politics. It's not for the Pharisees. It's not for the Sadducees. It's for the genuine believers of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so the predestinated of the seed of God. Amen. It's foreordained. Amen. For the elect of God. Amen. To endure the hardness of the cross, which is the message of the hour. Amen. In my day of visitation, you know, it cost me something. But boy, I didn't fully understand. And I'm not here to preach doctrine, but let's just say it ain't work out. And sometimes I talk real funny, so if I use double negatives or ain't, I believe I'm okay, right? Well, she ain't come back. Amen. It's life when it took its toll. And I said, God, I said, I don't understand. I said, I'm a servant of God. I'm a preacher. I done all I could do. I testified. I made of myself a fool. But you didn't bring her back. I said, I just had a question. Why? Why? And there was no answer. You know, was it my faith, or was it my approach, or God, was I speaking out of my desire, you know, rather than what you wanted from me? But see, when you come to God, amen, and you come out to see what this message is truly all about, amen, you got to leave all of your preconditions, amen, where you come out of. Amen. You got to leave it there. Amen. Don't bring your baggage with you. Amen. Because a lot of times it ain't going to work. Amen. Amen. I know that you got to get all of your ideas how you want to run things. You got to get out of the way because Christ is running the show. Amen. And a life yielded to Christ. When you come out, you recognize there's something greater than what I had. And I recognize that even though it cost me something, it's better than what I had. And I really went to God with a genuine heart. And I said, God, you don't owe me an explanation, but I sure would like to know. I needed a revelation on where were you in my darkest of hours. God bless you, Brother Will. I've been looking for him. He was up there. Amen. how you doing, sir? Amen. But I recognize that I kind of need a closure. I believe that God, when he takes something from us, he'll give us something in place. Amen. Your darkest hour, you might have lost a job, or you might have lost a child, or you might have had something happen in your life that destroyed your peace or gave you anxiety, or something that came in and shook you to the very core of your life. Amen. And I said, God, I really want to. I really want to know. And you know, a couple years before that, I had a word given to me by my pastor, and I've always identified myself that with the women at the way, the women at the barrel of meal. You got to find yourself in Scripture. You got to be identified somehow, somewhere in the Word. Amen. If you ever want to know, I'm that woman at the barrel of the mill. Amen. I'm her. My life just resembles that in a lot of different ways. And so I always kept it in my heart. And I was listening to the sermon, Jezebel's Religion. How's it going? And I was just listening. I could tell you exactly where I was. I was going up 501 North, and I don't know where I was going, but I could tell you where I was. And the prophet of God said, see, he said, that widow woman in Zarephath, she had to lose her husband in order to receive the word of Elijah. See, she had to lose something along the way in order to be able to fully accept that word. You get what I'm saying? And when he said that on tape 40, 50 years ago, that same Holy Ghost that was on the tape came in through my body and said, that's what I had to do for you. That is what I did. God himself took her away from me in order for me to be who he called me to be. And you know what? It was okay after that. You talking about a great release. You talking about peace that surpasses understanding. You're talking about somebody who came out, amen, but yet everything was okay before I come out. Everything was happy and go-lucky, and, you know, just saying shirah, shirah, you know, and everything's going to be happy and glad. But when I came out, amen, something happened to me, and it cost me something so close. But when he gave me a revelation of what I had found and who I was, it made me glad. That I can be identified by the Holy Ghost. That I can be identified by a prophet's message. But I had a greater witness than that of Brother Branham telling me that. It was the Holy Ghost coming inside and giving me that word that says, yes, that is the truth. Yes, this is what I have done in order for you to overcome. So what did I come out to find? Me as an individual, I came out not to find a set of laws or a set of doctrine or a better way of life or anything else, but I came to find Christ. And I pray that that is what we're doing this morning, that even when we come to church, we're not only here to sing the songs, but we're here that we may see Christ. And not only see Christ in somebody else, but you ought to be able to identify Christ in you. Amen. It's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. Amen. It's not the Christ in William Branham. It's not the Christ in Paul or Peter or James or John. But you got to come out in order to see Christ living inside of you. That is the hope of glory. That is, you are Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Amen. See, we can identify him in somebody else's life, but Jesus, on his threefold purpose of his coming, one was to express himself in Christ, and the second was to have preeminence in his church, which is the bride. Amen. So it's the preeminence of God, amen, that he can come, amen, and prepare people, amen, for him to come and dwell. He couldn't come and dwell in us outside of this message. I don't believe it. After the church ages, amen, was closed and they pushed him out of the church, amen, you can only find redemption in this message. You had to come out of Pentecost. You had to come out of Baptist. You had to come out of Methodist. And I say thanks be to God, amen, for the message of grace in this hour. Amen, for we were poor, blind, miserable, and naked, and we didn't even know it. But he said, I will clothe you with my righteousness. I will clothe you with my precious. Come and counsel me, amen, of right raiment, amen, that it will cover your shame and your nakedness. Oh, come out of her, my people. Oh, when the others see you leave, they want to come with you. All right? I want to go with you. God spoke to you. Amen. God, Abraham had to fight the same battles. Abraham said, God's called me out of Babylon. Amen. Look what happened. His nephew wanted to come with him. I want to come with you, Abraham. Don't leave me. I'll come with you. I won't be in any trouble. You won't even notice I'm there. Yeah, I'll just be over here. outside, out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. Amen. But God calls us to separate from all unbelief. Behold the Lamb of God, John would declare, who come to take away our sin. But what is sin? Unbelief. Amen. And look at the church world today. When you're off the word, you cannot help but be in unbelief. Amen. He come to take the symptoms of sin away. But the root of the issue of a drinking and a drunkenness and a pervertedness and a lust, it's unbelief. It's all unbelief. And what is sin? Anything outside of faith is what? Sin. Amen. Well, that church over there does that. And they smoke and they drink. Well, it's unbelief. You know? Why? Because they don't have the fullness of the word of God. Baptists used to have something, believe it or not. Pentecost used to have a standard of holiness. Amen. They used to strive under the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But yet something happened. Oh, I love it when Brother Eddie Biscoe, he was preaching, Let Us Run, amen, 1986, down in East Rutherfordton, Virginia, North Carolina. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. He said, what happened? What happened? He says, for almost 2,000 years, he said, the Methodists and the Lutherans, the Baptists, they all had a standard of morality. We, you know, in the 40s, you know, women dressed like women, and they didn't go out there in the world. And, you know, the backbone of America was based off that mother and wife to stay at home. Amen. I love how the prophet of God would say that the backbone of America was broke when women got out of her place. Where the whole world has gone chaos because the church has gotten out of her place. Amen. It's filthy, rotten pulpits. Amen. That the world is in a condition today. Amen. But Brother Biscoe was preaching this thing, and boy, it was so good. He said, what happened between the 40s and in the 60s, you know, and different things like that? He said, it was such a rapid degradation of humanity. You know, after World War II, the floodgates opened, and sexual immorality was on the rise, and women started cutting their hair, and men started to do ungodly things, and, you know, it was, you know, so what I'm talking about. He said, what happened? He said, the life left the shook, amen, the carriers of the word, amen, and it went directly into the word of God, which was going to produce a bride. Whatever they had, amen, left the shook. Amen. It went directly into the wheat again. Amen. So they don't have a life. They rejected the very Christ. Amen. They rejected the very message that was going to introduce to Christ. Amen. The unwelcome Jesus. Amen. No, excuse me. No, he didn't preach the unwelcome Jesus. He preached the unwelcome Christ. See, the real, genuine Christ of God is not welcome, amen, in those churches. The true, genuine bride of Jesus Christ is not welcome there, just as much as Jesus wasn't welcome there when Simon the Pharisee didn't kiss him on his neck or wash his feet. Amen. We find ourselves today in the very same situation. We all come out, and I'm talking about message folks now, you know, they don't like the Christ either. They want to put it all on the prophet. Amen. They want to put it all on a bigger church or a bigger name or a bigger ministry. Amen. But don't you know the bride of Jesus Christ is the Christ in the earth? You are Christ. Amen. And I like how the angel of the Lord met the prophet of God on the higher river. He says, as John's message, amen, came to forerun the first coming of Christ. Now, John's message, amen, when he told the prophet that, he didn't say the second coming of Jesus. He said the second coming of Christ. And that really hit me one night. And I couldn't keep it to myself. And I said, Brother Phil, I said, I really think that means that his message was going to forerun the bride of Jesus Christ. It's the rapture. We're going to meet him in the air. Jesus, we're going to meet him. But a prophet's message, just like John, was going to introduce Christ. And that prophet's message was being preached in the 60s. Amen. He was forerunning a message that was going to put us positionally in Christ. That we can become him. that we can have his potential, that we can have his characteristics, that we can have, that we can be the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we can do the very works that Jesus Christ has gone and done before us, and that he's still doing it today inside of a bride. He's Alpha, but you know what? You're Omega. Amen. He's the beginning, and you're the ending. Amen. See, this message has come, amen, to not just identify Elijah. Amen. John was identified. He says, I am the voice that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That was a people that he was preparing. He says, you just stay right here, amen, and wait till he comes. And when the Holy Ghost comes, I'm going to identify him. But you got to be there for when the identification has taken place. And I tell you this morning, amen, look, I know we're waiting for a rapture, but God is doing something right now. I said, Brother Phil, we was riding in a car in Virginia one night, and the Holy Ghost come down. I said, Phil, I said, it's not good enough just to say you're bride. You got to know you're Jesus Christ. You got to know you're him. You got to know your position, amen, as a believer in this hour, amen, that you reign on the throne with Christ. You are, he said, to him that overcometh, what I grant unto them to sit with me in my Father's throne. Mr. and Mrs. Jesus Christ, amen, you are the Christ that the prophet of God was preaching about. And the message of God come and prepare us that we may be in position, amen, to fully manifest and vindicate the revelation of Jesus Christ in this hour. That's what I come out to see. That's what I desire to see. I don't desire, better dressed people or just pretty sermons that we can paint up a lot of quotes and just have good services. That's fine. But I want to see Christ. I want to see overcoming, amen, through the power of the word of God in this hour. You know, here we go. Miracles do not identify Christ. Boy, ain't nobody want to see miracles more than me. I want to see people healed. I want to see arms being restored. I want to see eyes, you know, being created, and the power of God to come and say, "What color do you want your eyes?" I really want that. But you know what I need more than that? I need the revelation of God's word manifested in my life, because healing does not give me power over the devil. The prophet of God said revelation in your life gives you power over the devil. Amen. The devil, look, they got signs and they got wonders. Amen. But that doesn't give you power over the devil. Right? We're a word bride. And I was reading the message this morning, Christ is the mystery of God. He said the word of God, amen, is God wants to, amen, to live and manifest through you. Amen. The healings are a part of it. And shouting and dancing is a part of it. But there's a lot of people who just come out just to dance. A lot of people just come out just to see the miracles. A lot of people follow John and then follow Jesus just for bread. Amen. They you know, but that's not going to cut it in this hour. Oh, boy, I was reading John chapter 6 back there in the back. Whew, boy, that's when it come down, Brother Phil. I got to crying and I got to raising my hands and praising God. Amen. Because why? What did I come out to see? But what did I find when I come out? Say that you can come out, but what did you find? And what you gonna take back with you? Amen. What are you gonna obtain when you're out? Amen. You know, let's just find out what happened to John. Amen. No, excuse me, Peter. Amen. Look, this is John 6, and therefore, verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples. Well, let me just go up a little bit. He says, verily, verily, I say unto ye, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That sounds tough. And as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, see, they followed him for the bread. They followed him for the miracles. Amen. But now the word has come. Amen. Now there's a dispensation turn. Now there's a time to where you just can't rejoice in the sensations of the Holy Ghost and the goosebumps and the dancing and the shouting. But now the word has come to have preeminence. Now the multitudes, they all got caught up in the wash of the miracles, even in Brother Branham's ministry and even in Jesus Christ's ministry. Amen. But when the word come, amen, there was a separating time. Amen. It was a time to where all unbelief had to go back into the shaft, because Jeremiah said, what does the shaft have to do with the wheat? Oh, John in the Psalms 1, it says, and the wind blows upon the shaft. Well, I believe the word of God in this fourth hour, that fourth wind that restores the briar tree, it's blowing all of that shaft back to where it come from. Amen. But the wheat goes into the garner. The others goes into the threshing floor. Jesus said, and the disciples heard this. Now, it was 82 disciples that followed Jesus at that time. All of them came out to follow Jesus. All of them was there and had power over devils. And he gave them power over every unclean spirit. They had power. But wait a second now. Now here comes the word. And those same ones that had power to perform miracles, amen, now they're faced with something that different other than miracles. Now, I believe that a lot of people will partake of the miracles, but, you know, there's something greater than miracles. You know, miracles are minor, amen, compared to the word, which is a major. Amen. We're not Pentecostals here, amen. Well, we're true Pentecostals by baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. But yet, you know, we're not Pentecostal that majors on gifts, signs, and wonders, amen. For many were saying that day, Lord, Lord, then I do this, then I do that. Amen, Lord, well, I raised the dead, and, you know, and I was preaching one time. I said, you know what, if I saw somebody raise the dead, I'd be like, wow. Wow. Y'all see that? Man. The days of Elijah are back again. There's the God of Elijah. Right? We would see that. We would recognize that that was great power. But we're not trained to do that, are we? We want to hear what the word comes after the miracle. I put a value on the voice more than I put a value on the miracle. We ought to have a keen sense of the voice of God in this hour. Amen. That keeps us on the narrow, amen, to walk that knife edge of being true believers. Amen. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? What a question. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? He said, does this upset you? You didn't like that? Oh, I'm sorry. Now, I'm not asking you that, but this is Jesus. He said, did that offend you? Did that bother you? Did that go against your doctrine? Or did that go against your own opinion? Did that go against, you know, something that you're still holding on to? He knew their heart. He knew what was going on in their heart. And, you know, I believe it was Samuel Brannon up there in a Believer's Youth Camp. He says, if you have something in your heart that goes against the word, he said, that's not God. Now, I've heard some hard sayings. Marriage and divorce is one of the hardest sayings I ever heard. That's one of the toughest sermons I've ever, you know, had to endure. And, you know, Peter would say, Paul says some things that are hard to understand. But it's something about a genuine believer, when they come out to hear the word of God, I don't think you're going to shake them off. I don't believe the doctrine can be too rugged. If you sisters can endure marriage and divorce, I believe that you got some grit to you. I say, praise the Lord. Marriage and divorce is not skim milk. And boy, it's right tight, but it's right. And there's something about a genuine believer when truth is being preached. Amen. Something inside of you says, that's right. Now, that might go against every grain in my body. That might go against every grain in my thinking or my family or my way of life. But something inside says that's right. Because I didn't come out to get my ears tickled. I didn't come out to hear fables. I didn't come out just to have a good time. I didn't give up my, a lot of things in my life just to see a message get diluted, amen, based upon people's feelings. God didn't spare my feelings. And you know what? I believe God, amen, he gives us a soothe, amen, or a balm, amen, to soothe the wounds that we have, amen. But God's word is God's word. And God's prophet was God's prophet. And that message is God's message that he gave to this prophet. And when I see the people, so-called ministers and different things like that, trying to dilute the word of God in this hour, amen, I got to take a stand for that. Jesus sat there in the temples and synagogues and said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. Amen. He knew exactly where he was standing. He knew exactly who he was. Because why? He had been identified by the word of God. And he was the messenger of that hour. He was the voice of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To that generation. Amen. To the last age of the Old Testament. Amen. Church. Amen. He was the final voice to the final age. Amen. And what did that prophet say? The bride of Jesus Christ will be the final voice under her messenger. Amen. To be the final voice to the final age. He's not, Brother Branham is not coming back, amen, to finish this third pull. The Holy Ghost started the third pull. The Holy Ghost is strong enough, amen, to start it. He's also strong enough to finish it, amen. Brother Branham is not coming back. I hate to tell you, you don't believe that, but in case you do, amen, that's a wrong and that's a false doctrine. Hallelujah, there's a greater than William Branham here, and it's the person of the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you and dwelling inside the church. Hallelujah. We don't need to resurrect a Samuel. Amen. Look, only a Saul will bring up a Samuel. A Samuel that's been perishing to the other dimension. And Saul was a backslidden son of God. Don't be backslidden to conjure up a Samuel this morning. You have a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. You have a man that can turn on the light. And it's not a man. It's not Matthew Woosley. But it's Jesus Christ living inside of me by the witness of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because what is the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus Christ witnessing himself to you as an individual. This Holy Ghost is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not riding on a prophet's coattails. I'm not riding on the ministry's coattails. You can't ride in on Jerry's back. Brother Jerry's back. You can't ride in on Phil's back. Amen. You got to hitchhike, amen, on the wings of a mighty eagle. Amen. And that eagle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We got to stir up the nest. Hallelujah. You got to learn how to fly. Oh, the heavens are waiting for the bride of Jesus Christ. Look, Hallelujah. What time? How long y'all normally preach around here? Amen. Look, I had to go through Hades, amen, to get here. I just want to take my time. You won't in Charlotte, North Carolina at 12 o'clock at night with 3,000 people who smelled like spoiled milk and dirty diapers to get here. Oh, it was terrible. I know sense was terrible. Thank you for synthesizing. Hallelujah. We can't go back to the vomit that we come out of. We're not of those who turn back into perdition. If you go back, amen, to another church age, amen, you done backslid. We're not Pentecostals, amen, we're the bride of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not a bunch of frogs around here. We're talking about them frogs. Amen. Revelation 16. Amen. That Trinitarian spirit, that lukewarm spirit. Every time that spirit comes into a message church, amen, that spirit says, you can't fulfill the message of your hour. You can't rise up into the position in which Christ has called you into this day. When I had that revelation that Jesus, that the bride is Christ, you know, Brother Branham said that. But it becomes so real to me. And it changed my entire life, and it changed my entire ministry. Amen. That I know who I was, and I didn't need somebody else telling me what I can't do anymore. I can listen, watch through, read the word, and I can listen to a tape, and what the things that Jesus Christ did, I should do also. And I had a brother one time out of the Church of the Open Door. He says, Brother Wu, he says, you know, many of people have stood up and said those exact same thing, but it was always somebody that told them that they couldn't. It was always somebody, some church Pharisee, message Pharisee or hypocrite, amen, that couldn't take God at his word. They could see God yesterday, but they couldn't see that he was the same today. He said, Brother Wu, every time that they stood up and said that, it was always somebody to tell them no. I said, we're too late. I ain't got church with 10 people. They don't pay me anyway. I don't even get a free meal. I said, I'm not doing this for money or popularity. I said, Jesus Christ has spoken my heart. Amen. And it broken off every Pharisee and Sadducee's chain. What does it do? The anointing destroys the yoke. The Pharisees and Sadducees said, you can't do it. But the prophet of God says you could do it. You should stake your place. You can, amen, stand. He says, when the bride recognizes her position, she will go in a rapture. Your position is beside Christ. Your position is beside your husband with the word. Amen. You are the word of God because you're a part of him. Oh, and look, he said, that this bother you. He said, that this offend you. He says, what? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. And it was the spirit that quickened, and then the flesh profiteth nothing. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. There are people that come out that just don't believe. There are some people that would never believe. There are some people that are believing, amen, but and they're believers. But there was 82 among them, and he said, some of you do not believe. And Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father. He says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Here we go. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Oh, what a question. You came out to see. What did you come out to see? You came out to see something. What did you find? And being that you're here, are you going to go away also? Wow, the 70 just left. Gave it up. Say, I don't believe that. I don't care what nobody said. I don't care. It's going to walk away. Then he turned to the 12. He said, what are you going to do now? What about you? Oh, goodness, here it is. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and says, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, me and one of the 12. You know, we all have opportunities to go away. We all have opportunity to walk away from something as great as Jesus Christ. We can say that, how can we walk away from the message? Because the message is Christ. The message wasn't God sent a prophet. The message is Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And he spent his life portraying who Christ was in this hour, that we can recognize it in us. And when I read that back there, it just struck my heart. Because I've said over and over, Lord, where can I go? Where are we? Where can we go? Unto him. Only he has the words of eternal life. And you know, the multitudes, this is the best-selling book in the entire world, year in and year out. But where is it at? Where's the fruits of it? Where's the production? Where's the vindication of this word? Oh, the words that Jesus spoke to us, they're not letters, but they're spirit and they're life. See, Peter has something happen to him in Matthew 16. I don't think you can say something like that unless you have true divine inspiration of revelation in your life. Because if you try to figure it out here, you'll just go home. If you try to piece it together here, if you know really, if you listen to some of my conversations I have with Phil, you say, that boy, he just don't know what he's talking about. But when inspiration comes and divine presence of Jesus Christ comes, amen, then it all seems to make sense, amen. If you try to figure it out here and you're given an opportunity, you'll walk away. There's a lot of people that can't quite figure things out in the message, and they give up because, you know what, I can't make any sense out of the dates, or I can't get over how he says this or says that, and I can't piece it together in my mind. Well, this message is not supposed to be believed in the mind. It's supposed to be revealed in the soul of your heart. And when it ever gets down here, amen, you might say, well, that's the truth. Yes, sir. Amen. I believe what that brother's saying. Yes, sir. But yet, unless the seed of God, amen, rises up within you and grabs it and brings it into your soul, you'll say, oh, I'll go away with the 70. I'll walk away because it's not a reality. What is revelation? The word of God being manifested in your heart. Amen. That is no more just a quote. It's no more just a scripture. But it's the empowerment of the Holy Ghost producing the life of Christ inside the believer. You can stand against the enemy. You can stand against Satan. Amen. You can stand against anything that comes forth out of the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Peter said, where else can I go? Because he had true revelation in his life. You know, Jesus cannot even give him revelation. You know, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not given unto thee, but my Father which dwelleth in heaven. The prophet of God cannot give you revelation. Amen. I love that because so many people can quote, amen, certain quotes, but you can always tell if it's revelation or not. Yes, sir. Amen. Because it's producing the life of what it was inspired to do. Vindication comes with revelation, and revelation comes with vindication. Amen. Oh, Satan hates revelation. Amen. Oh, he hates it. Look, he'll fight you tooth and nail. Amen. For revelation. Because why? This is it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, we still fight antichrist spirits. I love it when John said in 1 John 4, something or another, he said, any spirit that professes that Jesus Christ is not manifest in the flesh is antichrist. So if you tell me that the bride cannot be Christ, you're under an antichrist illusion. Amen. That's not God. That's not what Christ has manifested in this hour. Amen. That's Nicolaitism. Amen. They believe the lie and they're damned by it. But oh, if we can see the two spirits working within the framework of the church, I would talk to Brother Phil. And I said, Brother Phil, this is what I'm seeing. He says, Brother, I'm seeing that too. And I said, Brother, we are seeing the two spirits work within the same framework of message churches. And I said, but the prophet of God says that we should thwart the devil anytime that he challenges us on the word of God. Oh, I love it. Hey, man, you just ought to see it. You can't explain it. But when you see it, amen? And the prophet of God said that you can withstand the devil. Hey, man, let me just read it because it's so good. He says that by God's spirit discern and withstand the antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. I thought the prophet only had the power. Oh, goodness. He says Satan will be powerless before her. Before you. I love that. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Satan wants us to be powerless. He wants to gain, amen, authority over us. Amen. Just like those Pharisees tried to, amen, gain power over Jesus. But he said, it is written. It is written. It is prophesied. It has been brought forth by Isaiah. It has been brought forth by Ezekiel. Amen. And what about us today? Can we stand here this morning and say, our prophet said the bride of Jesus Christ will be the final voice to the final age. A prophet told us, amen, that we could be victorious and we could go in a rapture and withstand the devil's every effort to gain power over us. we have power over the devil. Every time he comes in my warehouse, I have power to cast him down. He tried to build a complex in me not too long ago, Brother Jim. But you know what? God gave me a revelation, and by the revelation, I was able to tear down that stronghold. We're not above the spirits of the day. We are flesh and blood. We battle things. We see things. And I'm coming to a close. It's been an hour. But I like to live in reality. I'm not a super saint. I go through trials just like you do. And I battle stress, and I battle anxiety, I battle depression, I battle suicidal spirits, I battle lust, I battle all kinds of things because I'm a man. And you're a man, and you're a woman, you know, but we battle situations, and I find myself, you know, in need of a God. Not this 40, 50 years ago, but a God that can come and meet me at my point of need. I give ear to some things that we don't, but we're human. And you know, Satan was wanting to build a complex inside of the believer. You know, people with the Holy Ghost struggle. Oh, boy, we struggle. If you're honest today, you know, say, I struggle. Lord, I have my good days and I have my bad days, you know, and I think that just behooves us to know that we have a God that's a present help in a time of trouble. And I believe God will give us a word in due time. Amen. I believe God will see, he still can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. You know, he knows our heartaches, he knows our heartbreaks, and he knows our trials and our situation. But it's something about the Holy Ghost when he knows we're going through something, amen, that how he always comes in the right way. You know, he don't, it's just so real to us sometimes how that, you know, knowing your position, you can go to God and say, God, I have a need. Lord, I like that, you know, in the Church Age book, you know, some people believe in it, some people don't. You know, I think it's too good for the day. Amen. But in the Church Age book, he said that he alone has the right to provide for his wife. He alone has the key of David, amen, upon his shoulders. Brother Brandon said it's not only just the key, but it's the position upon his shoulders. Amen. And he alone has the power and the right to take care of his wife. And if you can recognize your position this morning and say, Lord, I don't have to beg this morning, but Father, I've come to you this morning with a need. God, I had a sister one time, she'd come up and she said, Brother, I need a revelation on how to raise my children. I said, boy, what a revelation. You mamas and daddies in here, you know, each child is different, so you need a revelation. You might need more than one revelation to raise multiple kids, you know. Amen. Ain't that the truth? But the prophet of God said we ought to ask for revelation more than anything else in our life. Husband, ask for a revelation how to please your wife. Wives, ask for a revelation on how to please your husband. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Oh, we need a revelation on how to please God. Amen. Father, without faith, amen, I can't please you. So show me, amen, how can I be in a position to please you? And I don't believe we have to, amen, fall on our face every day, but I think we can live our life before God, that we can go to work and please God. We can come to church and please God. We can go play basketball and please God. Thank hallelujah. We can still go play basketball. You can go fish and hunt if you want. Some people play basketball. But I believe that we ought to have a life that we can present to the world, amen, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I told somebody one time, I feel like the bride of Christ, we receive the Holy Ghost, and then we just go over here and hide until the rapture. Well, I don't want to hide. A city that's been lit up, you can't hide it, amen? There's a song that says, I've been touched by his fire, and I'm going to come and watch it burn, amen? But why? Because I've been set on fire by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God for this hour, and they need to see Christ living inside of you. I'm going to close, and maybe I'm getting off on my topic a little bit, but just trying to close here, you know, because so many times the world is coming out to see something. They come out to our churches, message church, and they hear message sermons, but they want to see a living God living inside of us. They want to see a God on a job, amen, that won't be carried away by ungodly jokes and being carried away with lust of money and the pride of life, amen, and vanity. They need to see a God, amen, the word of God is being expressed through. Amen. If the musicians will come this morning, amen, and we'll stand, amen, to worship and to turn the service over to the Holy Spirit. But I want you to answer the question within your heart. What did you come out to see? What did you come out to find? Did you come to find fault? Well, you'll find fault. If you come to find a genuine God, I believe this message will open itself to you. If you come with a full heart of assurance and God, I know this is nothing but the truth. Now, a lot of people quote Hattie Wright on that, and, you know, that's another sermon, but do you believe that this is nothing but the truth? If you're given a chance to walk away, will you stay with Peter and say, Lord, only you have the words of eternal life? You know, I want you to ask your question to yourself. Ask the question that the Lord asked you. Ask those disciples there on that day, what did you come out to see? Even this morning, what did you come for? And I pray whatever you come for, I pray that you find it. Amen. But if you didn't come for the right reasons, if you haven't seen Christ in your life, if you haven't seen Christ in your family, amen, then we can come to God this morning, amen, to look, find grace in a time of trouble and a time of need this morning. So if the musicians would play something, amen, sweet, and we'll just turn it over to our brother. But let's just pray first, amen. Father, oh God, I was, Lord, troubled this morning, Lord, how to approach this word, Father. But oh God, we've all come out to say something. Father, many of us, Lord, have left everything to follow after thee, Lord. And Jesus, when we find the great pearl of price, Lord, we'll sell everything, oh God, to purchase that one pearl. Oh God, many people come out to see a show, or they come out to be a part of a movement, Father, and Lord, they fail to see Christ. But Lord, this morning, Father, I pray, may you give the church here in Dixon, Lord, eyes out, Father, that they may see Christ. Lord, we can be so fixated on a prophet. We can be so fixated on one another, all to fail to see Jesus in our midst. Jesus, there was a woman that came in that great party that Simon threw. She was ill-famed, Lord. Her dress was tattered. She had made a mess of her life. But Jesus, she loved you. She saw God in you. Lord, and Simon sat there and said, oh, if you only knew what manner of woman that was, you would throw her away. But Jesus, I'm so glad that you didn't throw me away. She saw something that nobody else saw, Lord. And she came and washed your feet with her tears. And the only good thing about her, Lord, was her hair. And she washed and dried your feet with the glory of God. Lord, this morning, Father, let us see you, Lord. Let us see you in the message of the hour, Lord, and the message, oh God, that you have given us to be positionally placed that we can see you in our own personal life. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's a heart that doesn't see you in their life, I pray, Lord, this morning, may they say, Lord, I want to know you in the measure, Father, that you have presented us to know you in, Lord. Only you know the heart, Father, that is open this morning. And Father, searching, Lord, to find the right answers, Lord. And, oh, God, but, Lord, the only right answer, Lord, this morning could be, yes, Lord, I want to see Christ. I want to see you move. I want to see you change every facet of my life, Lord, the way I can see Christ witnessing himself to me personally, oh, God, as the member of the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, many Lord, our hearts, Lord, we lift them up before you, Lord. Lord, you've been so good to us, Lord. So many things you've done for us along the way, Father, that, Lord, that we're so thankful, Lord. But this morning, we're so thankful for life, Lord. Lord, that thy loving kindness this morning is better than life, Lord. Lord, that in the goodness of the Lord leads us into repentance, Father. Oh, God, help us this morning, Lord. Help us see you, Father, in the service, Father, in the worship, if there will be an altar call, Father, may you just be in that heart this morning, Lord. For many, Father, did not see you in the message of John's day, Father. Oh, God, so many of the multitudes this morning don't see you in this hour, Lord. Oh, you're still the unwelcome Christ, Father. But, Lord, I believe there's people here that says, Lord, you're welcome to come into my house. You're welcome to come with me home, Lord. You're welcome to come with me on my job. You're welcome to come with me, Father, in the midnight hour, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we just want to make you welcome and recognize your presence. Granted this morning, Father, peradventure there be some sick here, Lord. Father, we believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. Oh, God, and we just believe that, Lord, the prayers of the righteous shall avail much. And we just ask you, Lord, to just move upon the needs of the people. Maybe there's a person that's in prison in their mind. Father God, Paul and Silas was in a prison. Amen, but they saw Christ in that prison. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, in prisoners chains, Lord, they decided to worship you, Lord, because they come out to see something greater, Lord God, than themselves. They saw Christ in that prison, Lord. Prophet of God had that vision of the people in that prison, Lord. And oh, how those bars were 8, 9, 10 inches thick, Father. And oh, how the people were out of their minds. And how you gave the unction to deliver those people. And Lord, the prophet of God said, oh, I can't do that. But he said, deliver those people. And the prophet of God, Lord, in that dream, he said, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, in that dream, there was a rainbow on the inside of the prison, Lord. How he was there the whole time. Oh, Jesus, you're in our afflictions. You're in our pain. Lord, let us see Christ in our affliction. Let us see Christ in our trial. Let us see Christ, Lord, for, Lord, there's many that have been sick for quite some time, Lord, and want a release, Father. Let them see Christ today come forth, Lord. May the one that brings the miracles and the signs and the wonders, but most of all gives the word, let him come forth now, Father, to vindicate this word this morning, Lord. May they arise, Lord, with faith in their hearts, and may you arise with healing in your wings. Granted this morning as we turn the service over to you, for it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. I'm sorry, I get tender-hearted, but I believe that's the spirit of Christ. His heart is tender towards you this morning. And he wants to reveal himself to you more than, amen, and you want to see him this morning. Amen. If you need prayer, we're here. If you need deliverance, he's here. And Mr. Lewis, just worship him and see what he would do.